of 2 Kings chapter 4, and we'll have a brief time of devotion. And again, I hope that you've come tonight just with an understanding that we're going to come together to pray. I think it's a wonderful thing when churches just take the time and really focus in on prayer. And so I appreciate that you came along this evening. And if you're a guest of our church, thanks for being here as well. We're glad you're here. It's not what you would call a typical Sunday night service, but I think it is incumbent upon churches to take some time to pray. I think it's important that we have that as a bit of a cornerstone of what we get to do as a church family. And so 2 Kings chapter 4 this evening, and if you quickly turn there's a bit of a familiar story. And I want you to see this phrase that really is asked of the Shunammite woman: what then is to be done for her? You know, I think one of the great privileges that we have as God's people is just to pray for one another. And, you know, I hope that you don't take it lightly when someone asks you if there's something that they can pray for you about. Or if there are those that let you know that they've just taken the time through the course of this week to pray for you and to pray for a certain need that you've shared. But it's a blessing to do that. And here we have the Shunammite who really was quite generous toward the prophet Elisha and his servant Gehazi. And we see them now interacting with her as far as just blessing her, as far as just making a request of her and for her. And notice verse 11, we'll begin reading there. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And so the Shunammite noticed that Elisha just would take some time to pass through where she would live. And so to be a blessing to him and recognizing that he was a man of God, she thought, well, let's prepare him a chamber. And, you know, some churches you visit nowadays, you could go and they'll say, we have a prophet's chamber. There's this idea that if we can be hospitable to those that are serving God, that would be a blessing. And that's really where this whole principle came from, this story. And in verse 11, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And she said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us, full of care for us with all this care. And notice what he asks, what is to be done for thee? Hey, what can we do for you? Hey, because of the blessing that you are, because of just our relationship, because of our connection, because of the fact that you've been a blessing to us, what is it that can be done for you? And he says, wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. So they recognized that there was a particular need that the Shunammite had, and in a way, they really were asking for a request. They were asking for what would be a blessing to her, and they recognized that this very thing was the thing that she desired. And she says, notice her doubt, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And notice in verse 17, it skips over 9 months. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. But they asked that question, what then is to be done for her? And you know, tonight we're going to say some prayers, make some requests of God for others. Tonight we're going to take some time, and maybe in your group, you're going to go around really quickly and you're going to share some things that you'd like others to be praying about. And perhaps you've had the opportunity through the course of this week already to sit with others and to ask them, hey, how can we pray for you? And you know, sometimes we have this thing of prayer where we understand that in the moment we pray that prayer. We understand that at times we do make requests, and in hopefulness we would somehow see that come to be. And I hope that you understand that there's so much more. Our prayers go so much further than that. And here, if it wasn't for this great woman of Shunem that had a need and met a need, if this request and these things that were on her heart were something that she deeply and keenly felt wasn't mentioned, and perhaps then we wouldn't have the story. And you know, there's probably many times where you've heard a particular request, maybe in your own life, and God in His sovereignty, God in His might, God in His power, and God perhaps even through others were able to meet that need. And it wasn't just prayers that you just breathed out and spoke. They became real, and God through faith, and God through His power, and God through His providential care upon you, gave it some legs and let it go. And it became to be. And I want you to note a couple of things here about this request, this situation that we find this great woman to be in, that her answer, her prayer, her request was really met in the immediate. You know, you think about the conversation they were having. It was really to do with the Shunammite woman. It was to do with her and her particular need. And you know, from time to time, we're going to meet people who, just in their faithfulness, just in their great spirit, just in the fact that God has allowed us to come across their path, we're just going to connect somehow and we're going to find out something about them. We're going to find out about a keen need. We're going to find out about a desire in their heart. And sometimes a throwaway line when we hear about that, hey, let me pray for you about that. And I wonder if we truly do. I wonder if we really take the time and are serious about that. And I wonder if we would take the time to just help them and pray for them in the immediate. And that current conversation that they were having here, they really were keen to see God do something in this Shunammite woman's life. And the thing that we do, the things we do for God today, and the requests that we make for others, they make for us in the immediate some things that I think sometimes we don't fully estimate and fully understand the value. Here's the first thing in the immediate that happens. In the immediate, there's the blessing of just being cared for. You know, the great blessing of knowing that someone is just even asking, hey, what can we pray? That there's a great blessing in that immediate that someone just cares. That's what prayers actually communicate. When you make that offer of making a request for someone, you're saying to that person, I care about you. And there's a blessing of the immediate of just knowing that she was being cared for. And again, he asks her, you know, what can we do for this, for you? What is to be done for thee? And so he makes some assumptions there. He says, hey, do you want me to make some audience with the king? And, you know, Elisha knew the king personally. And Elisha wanted to do something for her. And she said, no, that's not what I need. And Gehazi knew enough to discern, no, what the thing that she really needs is this. And what a blessing just to know that someone cares for you. Just knowing someone is praying for you should immediately fill your heart with cheer. And I know that does it for me. I know sometimes you're having a tough week, and sometimes you're going through a situation that you can't seem to figure out. And then suddenly someone, just even those that you think they have a greater need than you, might come to you and go, hey, listen, is there anything I can pray for you about? You know, there was a moment in time where God had to really just remind me what a precious thing that is. You know, oftentimes as the pastor, you're often the one praying for others. But I've never taken it for granted since that one time a young person came to me and said, Pastor, you know, you pray for me, but can I pray for you? Is there something you need? And you know, sometimes you have a throwaway line like pray for this and pray for that, but it was so sincere in that. And you know what that communicated? It was a corresponding care to me. And I wonder if you would just recognize the blessing that tonight, as you make requests, as someone might ask you, hey, what can I pray for you about? That there's just immediate blessing that someone cares. But then there's the immediate blessing of course, of hoping in God. Because prayer is just prayer without God. If you understand that when someone speaks someone speaks about prayer in the context of the Christian life, They're not just uttering words that's just vain repetition or vain jangling. No, it's prayer that comes up to the ears of a very holy, very capable, very almighty God. You understand that when someone prays for you, they utter your very name to the very God of heaven, and he hears our prayers. And you know that ought to usher in hope in God. You know, right from the beginning, she was a little skeptical. And what it was, she just needed a seed of hope. And sometimes, just the fact that our name is being mentioned to God ought to give us enough hope to just maybe hope a little bit more. You know, no doubt, this was a desire that she's had for a long time. In Proverbs 13:12, the Bible tells us, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when desire cometh, it is a tree of life. And you know, sometimes when our heart, it has become sick from waiting in hope, we sometimes don't recognize hope when it comes again. We don't recognize that actually the prayer is a bit of hope. It's a bit of sunshine on a rainy day. It's a little bit of a glimmer of what could be, because we have a God who's not just dealing in the logical and dealing in the things that we understand. No, we have a God who deals in the invisible and the incredible and the impossible. Do you believe that tonight? Because I certainly do. Because that's what the Bible says. We have a God. Is anything too hard? Well, the Bible tells us, even in this very thing, it just gave her a glimmer of hope in the moment. But you know, sometimes the blessing of God is this, that even in the immediate, there's an answer to prayer. And there, again, it's amazing how the Bible can so quickly skip over months and months at a time. But 9 months later, in that particular time that Elisha had said she will, it did happen. From verses 16 to 17, there was around 9 months, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And the blessing of immediate answered prayer. Let's love it when you sit with someone and they say, hey, could you pray for this particular thing that I need this week? And I love the follow-up text and that says, hey, Pastor, thanks for praying. It happened. And we have a God who can answer prayer. And sometimes, you know, we have this mindset that again, and it's taught in us in the Word that we're supposed to come to God importunately. We're supposed to come to God in our time of need again and again and again. And I was reminded this week, you know, Shada mentioned something as we were praying even over in before our Wednesday night prayer as deacons and pastor. He reminded me of that ask, seek, knock. How really those actions, it's about getting closer and closer to God in our prayer. And there's all of that, and we understand that. But, you know, sometimes God, in his supernatural ability to do it, just answers the prayer right there and then. And God can do that. And we've got to just understand that. And we ought not to have the attitude that's just some fantastical preaching. No, that's reality. God can. You know, we sort of smirk at that sometimes. But I understand we're supposed to pray believing. And so we see here that the request was made for her, and the immediate thing was this, there was blessing. There was blessing in the fact that here she was being cared for. There was a blessing in the immediate, in the fact that she now had some hope, and she had some hope in God, and then the blessing of answered prayer. But notice as the story continues, verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day. And he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. Typical dad, right? Right? The child is feeling ill. And dad says, hey, just send him to his mom. Let mom take care of him. Right? And we sort of don't always jump to that the immediacy of a situation. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon. And here's the sad reality of it, and then died. Imagine the tragedy. Imagine that, this blessing, this answer to a prayer, suddenly there was a complication. And you know, that's the thing about life, is sometimes even as we see prayers answered and requests come to be, that there's the aftermath of just the reality of life. And I want to tell you that as this lady would have sat there grieving for this child that was really already a miracle, that her heart perhaps went back to the fact that it was a miracle to begin with. And so here's what happened. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God in that same chamber that she had prepared, and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." So he goes, "I'm going to go to Elisha." I mean, he's the one that prayed. He's the one that you know, he caused this through God to happen. And she goes, he said in verse 23, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither a new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." Notice how before she was a little skeptical. Now her faith had been building up. Then she saddled an ass and said to her husband, "Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." He said, "I'm going to go as quickly as I can." So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Behold, yonder is that the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her. Say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And imagine the heart of Elisha now pounding as this couple was speeding his way. And when she came to the man of God, verse 27, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. She was in deep sorrow. And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me." And he said, "Did I desire, son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up thy loins and make my staff in thine hand." They go. And the mother of the child, "As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. And we'll skip down to the rest of the story, but notice that in the aftermath, notice that the blessing, you know, came to this place now of tragedy. And I'm saying life can change very quickly. And we eventually find ourselves needful again. Have you ever found that in life? You get to one answered prayer, and the blessing out of all of that, and finally you think you've gone through it, and here's what happens: life gets complicated again. And then suddenly another thing happens, and even with the very thing that we sought, the very thing that we thought God led us to, the very thing that seemed like was a blessing of God, suddenly there's just this complication. And there's the aftermath of just the fact that complications come to blessings. You see, the child was grown. And it fell on a day, so years later. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees, and then he died. What agony. Well, you know, sometimes there's agony in blessing. Sometimes God allows it, and then he tests us. And how much heartache has the very things we've been given brought to us at times? Right? You prayed for that job, and now you've got to get up every morning and go to that job. Right? You prayed for a family, and then your kids grew up and they developed vocabulary that you don't understand. You develop then the heartache of at times where you see them make wrong choices. And then you're thinking, "I prayed for that child and I made requests. What happened?" There's complications in blessings sometimes. Sometimes the very things that we ask for. And there are at times complications to blessings, sometimes even to this devastating degree. And I pray for this, and now it's the very thing I'm hurting over. Has anyone else been there? I sure have. You know, you pray that God would use you, and then God uses you and you get hurt. You pray that God would help you in this matter, and God does help you, only for it to become something that you never thought. And you understand that in all of that, though, the prayers back then are still prayers still. That God is not left in the past. God is actually present in past, present, and future. And even in the aftermath of all of that, see, There's a sorrow of all those complications. Her soul's vexed within her. And you know, sometimes we get to a place where there's a complication of the blessings. We're so sorrowful about it, we question why God even allowed it to come in the first place. And we question and we start to wonder why we're in such great sorrow. And so she goes to the man of God, to the very one that interceded for her before. And she understood that as much as he was a help then, he can be a help again. And I'm glad for those who prayed for me before. And I so often go to them again because I know they pray for me. I know they come to the Lord for me. I'm thankful for, again, my parents who, over the course of my life, just have been tremendous prayer warriors. There have been times where I've questioned whether God can even get me through this. And I have times where I've come to my dad, I've come to my mom, and in their earnestness to pray for me, they've come again. And they prayed, and through the sorrow of my life, they've come in the time of need. And I'm so glad that there's so many, if you really think about it, that really have that care for you. And really the challenge is, would you go to them again when things get complicated? Or is it just, do you just believe that prayer was just prayer then? That God was just God then? And yet the aftermath of this was God's continuing power though. Because in verse 36, notice what happens. He returns, comes in, and we won't take the time for the sake of time, but he goes and goes to the child. And notice verse 36, and he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. You know, the amazing thing about this was there was a resurrection. There was a raising. And you know, as if God, sometimes here's what we think, sometimes God, we think God somehow forgot that we're going to go through sorrow, and somehow God forgot, because it just seems like there's no humanly possible way this can be fixed. As if God somehow lost control. But I want to tell you, God never loses control. And actually, by faith, we see if we would just endure through even the aftermath of the request, even if we go through it, that God has a continuing power. And you know what I'm saying? God is able to do it again. God is able to do it again. God is able through the complications. God is able through the challenges that we can't seem to make sense of. God is able to come to a place where when we make requests for Him, and when others make requests for you, that somehow, some way, God hears it again, and God revisits it again, and God hears the faithful requests of others for us, and God hears a faithful request of ourselves for others, and we see God work again. Because He can. And even in the aftermath, we see that the request continued. But then I want you to note, interestingly, that, you know, God even in the future will. Look at 2 Kings chapter 8. 2 Kings chapter 8. And I'm just trying to say, you don't know how far your prayers will go. You might think you just spoke it once. You might think you just spoke it in your weakness. You think you might have just made requests out of just a heart to be a blessing. But you know, God takes prayer seriously. And God is able to visit you in the immediate. God is able to visit you in the aftermath. But notice what happens in the life of the Shunammite. Verse 1, 2 Kings chapter 8. Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life. You know who that was, that Shunam? Saying, arise and go thou and thine household and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. So 7 years of famine. We don't know how much longer this was between, you know, chapter 4 and chapter 8, but now we're coming to this place and it's going to be 7 years. And notice what happens in verse 2. And the woman arose. Remember right from the beginning? Remember at the beginning she says, nay, my Lord. There was skepticism. And then later on, she comes and her faith has been built up. I'm going to go to the man of God. And now she's saying nothing. She's just immediately going. The woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. So 7 years she had to go because of a famine. She went immediately upon the revealing of the man of God by God's decree. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. You notice, remember the initial thing that Elisha said? Hey, do you want an audience with the king? That was in his heart for this woman. And listen, at that point, she didn't need of it. She had no need. Elisha just spoke it. But here it is, several years later, at least 7 years, plus the growing time of that child who died and then was risen again. Later, years later, guess what? That request was granted. She's now needing an audience with the king. She's now needing for a request about certain things. And notice what happens. And it came to pass as he was telling the king how he had restored. Sorry, in verse 4, the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God. So he was just there casually hanging out with the king, right? Saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. And guess what he was telling? Verse 5, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. And notice this, so the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day that she had left the land, even until now. Amazing. Many, many years later, an almost casual request by Elisha. Do you want an audience with the king? And her was like, no, I don't need that right now. But you know, God still heard it. And here she is with an audience with the king, right when she needed it. Right when she never knew down the track. You know, there's so much of our lives that we will never understand yet. You know, our futures, we like to map it out like it's some sort of thing that we can figure out. Listen, we can't figure out our future. We've just got to trust God. We've just got to understand that God is not just active in our past, that God's not just active in our present, but God is so much more active in our future. Hey, listen, sometimes we get so invested in the now and how we're going to get through it that we forget that we have a God who's above all time. And here he was putting it all together after a simple request. And you know, in the future, what we find is her faith was stronger. Because before she was skeptical, then she was somewhat compliant, but now she was just full of faith. When the man of God said, leave your place, that's pretty difficult. I mean, she seemed like she was someone of some substance. She had resources, but upon warning from the Lord through the man of God, here she goes and she just uproots. The Bible says she arose. She didn't say a thing. She didn't question it. She just went. And for 7 years, unknown to her what was going to take place, unknown to her what was happening with her prophet's chamber, her property, and all of that, she didn't know what was going to take place. But after 7 years had elapsed, what we find is her faith was justified. Because her faith was just stronger. And what you find when you recognize God's hand in your life, and when you recognize that the request of others, and maybe your own request for yourself, in your next challenging time, you're going to find that your faith is strong enough to obey and strong enough to trust without concern. Because she had no concern now. And the answer to her needs that came in the immediate, in the aftermath, helped her into the future. And remembering God's work in our lives, recalling them in times of need, keeps us going. It's a needful daily practice. Because we just have to understand that our faith ought to grow. And in the future, her faith was stronger. In the future, here's what it is. Her testimony was known. Hey, listen, don't ever underestimate what you believe in God, what story that will tell tomorrow. Here she was. She was being talked about. Not in just some random place. No, this was in the king's court. Here it was, Elisha. Here it was, Elisha had done all of these, had made requests for her, and now Gehazi is sitting there after the famine, and it was her story that was being told. And some of us need to think a little further to understand that when we endure through times of challenge, that when we endure through times where it just doesn't seem to be any way, if we endure with faith, what we're going to find is not just the test, it's the testimony. And you can't have a testimony without a test. And she went through that, and now her testimony was known. Not only was her faith strengthened, but her story also helped the faith of others. And that's the thing about our faith in the immediate. That's our thing about our faith in the aftermath. You don't know who it will help in the future. It might even help you. Someone might just remind you. You know, maybe someone's talking about you in that moment, and now you're hearing about it for the first time. Wow, that made a difference. Wow, that time when I responded rightly, that time when God did a miracle in my life and I knew I was undeserving, I knew it was difficult, but here I am all these years later, and now I just have a need. And God prepared her testimony to be used. But then I want to tell you lastly that in the future, her rescue was assured. Because again, now she had need. And it might be that you're praying for your child right now. And you're praying for guidance. It doesn't seem like it's taking. But I want to tell you that God hears our prayers. And in His time, in His perfect will, in His timing, He can bring that very same request to be. Remember that initial request she had rejected? Remember that initial request that she was a little skeptical about? Here it is now being played out. And what it was, her rescue was to be assured. You know, that's now being fulfilled. Well, that thing that she didn't think she needed before, it's needed now. And what's more, God had already paved the way through her own life story. And I want to remind you tonight that God is one who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. You get that? He's delivered us, He doth deliver us, and He will yet deliver us. Listen, that's your God tonight. And don't underestimate God's power to grant the request made by others on your behalf. Don't take for granted the very things that we might even pray about tonight. And I want to say this can only happen if you allow others to request for you. If you would humble yourself and say, hey friend, can you just pray for me about this? Hey friend, could you just mention me before the Lord? Hey, there's just a need in my heart, and you know, can you just help me? And this can only happen if you allow others to request for you. If you just believe in faith that through prayer, God can, God will, and God will again. You know, I think about a young man I just sat with just recently. He was 18, 8 years ago. His church was going through a bit of turmoil. They didn't have a pastor, and so one of the men in his church said, hey, I have a friend, go see him. And he sat with me, and he just started to just unfold what was happening in his life. He was 18, just finished high school. Felt like God was calling him to serve. He had no idea how that was going to happen. Their church didn't even have a pastor. And so I sat with him. We were sitting at a Max Brenner. It's a great place to meet, by the way. You know, chocolate and stuff. But we sat there, and as he unfolded sort of his heart, I just simply asked him, what do you want me to pray about? How do you want me to pray for you? And he said, Pastor, you don't really know me, but could you just pray that God would help our church? Could you just pray that God would help me with just my desire to just grow in the Word, to grow in my service for Him? Would you just pray that God would use me to just be a help, and that God would make it clear what His perfect will is for my life? That's a pretty good prayer request from an 18-year-old, right? So I prayed for him. I prayed for him for a while. And I'll be honest with you, after a while I got busy and I stopped praying. You know, this is now 8 years later, and I sat with him just recently in Sydney. And what happened was a year or two later, their church got a pastor. Their church started to really grow. He started really investing in his church, and he stayed faithful. He went to Bible college and he graduated Bible college. In fact, he went further and he did a master's degree. And he sat with me and he said, "Pastor, remember when you prayed for me?" He says, 8 years later now, and guess what? This week I'm full-time in the ministry this week. And you know, I'm not saying I'm anything. I'm just saying we have a great God. And I'm saying that tonight, I know I was longer than I wanted to be, but it's worth praying for. It's worth praying for things. And so tonight, we're going to change it up a little bit. I know we're going to take three sessions. We're going to take all the sessions in one go, all right? So here's what I want you to do. Let's just pray. If you want to pray with your family, if you want to pray with others, go ahead and do that. But let's just pray until we want to go. And tonight, I know we've got a scheduled meeting afterwards, but this is important. Let's pray. You know, firstly, pray. Take some time together to pray some praise. You know, God loves praise, and we ought to approach prayer with thanksgiving, the Bible says. And then I've got some things there to pray for. Obviously, pray as the Lord leads you in your heart. Pray for some needs. You know, I mentioned this morning just the need for my sister. Please just think of her. But I know many others who are bearing some burdens right now. Pray for some needs. And then pray for protection. I noted there, pray for the protection of our church and our unity. Pray for families and marriages. Pray for our school ministry. Pray for protection over the church leadership. Some of our church plants recently, Crossroads Baptist in Gympie, Hope Baptist in Samford, and then our missionaries that we have here that we've sent out. Let's pray for protection. And then pray for protection over you. And, you know, God can put hedges about us. And so let's take the time tonight, and we're just going to have that solemn time together to pray. Use the